This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Well, I think at the fair I'd blend in because I spend my summers at my grandparents' home.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
There's a 30, Jace Kinnaman turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man that got a little taste, a little aroma of that pigskin, the pads cracking, and a little football yesterday.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Chiefs taking in a little Mac College football practice. Steve Sell, you feeling good?
Hey, I was feeling good. I went out to McPherson College practice. Coach Merck, he, of course, he was very close to the vest. How many you got? He says, you always ask me how many I've got. He says, just for, you know, they had 100 players out there yesterday, and they've got some what you like to call dudes. They got some guys that look like they could play. And I got a feeling they're going to have some exciting times this year at Mac College.
Think about this, Steve. Just sit back and think about this. In 3 weeks from this moment right now, we will be previewing the first football game of the Bullpup football season.
Unbelievable.
We'll be getting ready. Salina South will be sitting in their classrooms. The McPherson kids will be sitting there ready to go for game day, and we're going to be sitting here ready for football.
That's hard.
It's almost time.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
That's 3 days we get to go watch practice.
Yeah, that's just incredible. Yes, Monday practices for all sports start tomorrow. I've been getting kind of pumped because I've been writing stories for our Mid-Kansas Sports Magazine. I think I'm down to like 2 stories left to do, and one of them I just got the information for. So basically I'm down to Coach Pav. Because, you know, I kind of like to wait for the first practice, but everything else is pretty much done. But, we enjoy our summers off. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, Steve enjoys going up to Wisconsin and Chicago and checking out all the golf courses.
Yeah, but we also like to be right in the middle of Bullpup athletics, broadcasting games, going to games. And, boy, it's going to be nonstop this fall. We've got a very heavy schedule of broadcasts for this fall. Not only are we doing football, we're doing volleyball, we're doing soccer, and that would be boys soccer, and they got a chance to be really, really good.
Yeah.
They only lost 2 players off a team that got 3rd in the state last year.
And they were young last year, too.
Yeah, albeit the 2 players they lost are going to go onto the Wall of Fame in December. But everybody else is back, should be a powerful team. So I just think it's going to be a fantastic fall, looking forward to it. So it's about ready. It's all coming together.
Well, Steve, we've got a big show today. We need to talk about the Chiefs preseason game from last night against the Texans. The PGA Championship is turning into this craziness with everybody going low, and they are projecting the cut right now, which it's still very early. Pretty much nobody has done today. There's a few groups that are, but not many. They're projecting the cut could be at even, which would be the lowest 36-hole cut in this major
and
history.
And I think, you know, they keep projecting even. I think it's going to be a minus.
I really do. It might get to one under.
And the thing is, the course is soft. The wind is down. There's wide fairways. The greens are big. Dustin Johnson, I know, when I was home just a little while ago, he'd made 5 birdies in 6 holes. There's some guy named Landry.
Landry. He was 3 over yesterday, and he's 6 under today through 12.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys that are just, you know, it's
Charles
just
Schwartzel is 6 under today. Adam Scott's 5 under. Brooks Koepka, who couldn't string anything together yesterday, he's 7 under today, and he's up to 8.
And Kevin Kisner, I think, was
he's at 10. Gary Woodland is at 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a pitch and putt right now. These guys are destroying it. I'll just say to these guys, wait till you get to Whistling Straits and play the course I played. Of course, I didn't play the course they played.
No.
You know, I needed binoculars to look back at where the black tees were. We played the green tees, which are the third, or the, you got the, okay, the black's the back, then the blues, then the greens, and then they have some other tees. There's like five sets of tees. So we played the middle tees, which is about 6,500 yards long.
Ooh.
Just add another 1,100 yards to it, and you got the back tees. And some of those tees, I said, are we even on the same hole? That's how far back some of the tees were, like number 18. I look back there. You know, I hit a 265-yard drive, and I still had a two hybrid into the green, and just think, it was another 120 yards from where the pros teed off from. So if I would have played back there, just figure I was 205. I would have been
300 out.
I'd been 300 out on a par four. And you know, I hit the ball pretty far.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I hit it pretty far. I would have been over 300 yards out on a par four. So,
with a great drive.
Yeah. So three wood and a 100-yard wedge, and I'd been on the green.
So we'll talk about PGA a little bit. We can also talk a little bit about Bill Snyder with his contract extension with K-State, which will take him until 2022, which will mean that at the end of that season, he would be 83 years old. We'll get our thoughts on that. But before we do any of that, Steve, I know you wanted to talk about this a little bit today, and the story that broke yesterday morning that your good friend and many people's good friend here in McPherson, Doug Gehr, he passed away on Thursday morning, and you wrote a really, really good column about not only what he meant to you, but meant to a lot of people here in McPherson, and I think you've probably seen that with the amount of responses that people have had, and
right,
talking about the impact that he left on him. And I just wanted to let you talk about your relationship with Doug.
Yeah, you know, Doug was the first star athlete that I covered when I got to town. That's been 40 years ago. Doug was a senior. He was a year younger than me. He was a senior at Mack College. I just graduated from KU. He was a KCAC tennis champion. He and Craig Holman were just a dominant force back then. He was an all KCAC basketball player, terrific athlete, unbelievable shooter. If Doug was open, he didn't miss. I think he had one day in practice. I think the legend goes, he made 144 free throws in a row in practice, Taylor Robertson-esque almost. He was Taylor before there was Taylor. But, you know, and then he got a job at the middle school. Back then it was McPherson Junior High. As a physical education teacher. He coached eighth grade basketball, and of course he was the tennis coach for nearly 30 years, had two state championship teams, 25 times.
I remember you've made the comment that if it wasn't for Wichita Collegiate, that Doug always said, if it wasn't for them, you know, I'd have about 30 state championships.
I almost put that in my column, but I think Dave Hawley at Wichita Collegiate might somehow get access to my column. And that was always kind of the, if you wanted to get Doug fired up, just talked about private schools, because Doug was not a big fan of the private schools playing with the public school, you know, and really 25 top three finishes. And I'll guarantee you, out of those 25, I'll bet most of them, the teams that finished ahead of him, one of them was at least a private school. So anyway, Doug was an incredible tennis coach, but more than that, what a great person he was. Guy never said a bad word about anybody, and I don't think anybody's ever said a bad word about him. And, you know, he battled a lot of health problems the last couple of years. And, you know, he kind of had health problems, you know, a long time. But, you know, he never complained, never let anyone on that, you know, he was hurting or anything like that. I used to play a lot of golf with Doug. He was a tremendous golfer. I think even once from the white tees, I think he once shot a 64.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think I'm almost positive he had a 64. I played with him when he shot under par from the blue tees, but he was also an incredible ping pong player. I know Treg Fall might think he's the best ping pong player in town. Treg Fall, friend of the show. But Doug was an amazing ping pong player, and he always took it easy on me when we would play. But more all, again, he was a friend, great friend, and he is going to be greatly missed. Had a beautiful family. His dad, Glenn, you know, Glenn's been a friend of mine since I've moved here, and just a great person. And I know the whole community of McPherson, the community of Bueller, also, you know, where Doug grew up. It's just a huge, huge loss, and it's going to leave a void that's really going to be difficult to fill.
Well, I've been here just a little bit over a year, and throughout that past year, there would be times where you'd come in and they'd say, oh, Doug's not looking good. Oh, and then 2 months later, they go, well, he's feeling a lot better. Heck, he went and even played golf
today.
Yeah,
went out and played nine holes of golf.
We saw him at the basketball game. He made it out to the roundhouse. And then 2 months later, you'd go, I heard it's not looking good.
Yeah.
And so it just feels like the last 2 or 3 years for him, it's just been this constant fight.
And the thing is, he contracted pneumonia recently. And I think, you know, he just didn't have the, you know, and he just couldn't fight it anymore. And he fought a courageous battle. And again, it's going to be a void that is just going to be hard to fill. Doug, just a very good friend, and I'm going to miss him terribly.
Yeah, so I know that was a bummer for you yesterday, and we will keep you updated with service announcements whenever we find out all of that information and where it will be. And so you'll be able to hear it on our station, see it on our website, and I'm sure that everybody will be keeping Doug and his family in their thoughts.
Sure will. And Tamara, of course, just Tamara, his wife, is just an unbelievable person. Amanda, his daughter, on the Wall of Fame. I can't remember if Mark's on the Wall. Yeah, Mark's on the Wall of Fame for winning state tennis. In fact, I think he was a 2-time state champion in doubles with Nathan Wehrman. And then his son, Chad. Chad, a great, funny guy, just has a great sense of humor. Just an amazing family. And, of course, Glenn, Doug's father, former McPherson College women's basketball coach, coached at Bueller, coached at Little River, and just a great family. I mean, I wrote in my column, you know, if you had the blueprint for what a great family is, it was the Doug Gehr family.
So for those of you that haven't gone to read this column yet from Steve, it's really good. It is up on our website already at midkansasonline.com. Steve, let's take our first break. When we come back, let's talk about the Chiefs and their preseason opener last night with the Houston Texans. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Nextech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Well, Steve, we got our first taste of the NFL preseason last night. Did it feel good to be sitting on your couch and watching a football game?
Oh yeah, I get jacked.
Feels like home.
It really does. I always get jacked up for the Chiefs games. And
big box of Cheez-Its to eat.
I think I had white cheddar nips.
Ooh.
Last night. So
ooh.
I had Mitch on. You know, I was listening to Mitch, and Mitch is in mid-season form already. Friend of the show. By
oh
the
yeah.
Way.
So I've got a couple of things that I can take away from this Chiefs game. And obviously, like we talked about yesterday, it's the preseason. You can't look too much into it. But also, they're getting ready for the season, and you have to take a look into some things. And one thing that I thought was a little weird very early on in the game, the defense was just missing tackles left and right. And this was the first team defense against the Texans' first team. I think they only had one drive with Deshaun Watson
right.
at quarterback,
he
and then a couple with
series.
Brandon Whedon. But they weren't making any tackles. And so it was a weird start that way. And then the other thing is everybody was waiting for the Chiefs to go on offense for the first couple of series with Patrick Mahomes. And I thought that he looked really good in some of the plays where he had a pretty good idea before the play where this pass was going to go. Whether it was a screen, whether it was a little 5-yard out, whether it was one of those first plays to Travis Kelce. When he didn't have to make a read, he looked really comfortable. And I think that that is going to be true, especially early on. But there were a couple of times where he would drop back on a third down or even a second down, and he didn't look really comfortable. And I thought it was funny that on one of the first third downs that he faced, he checked it down
yes,
to Kareem Hunt out of the backfield.
And
it's funny
because that
was the biggest knock on Alex Smith.
I think the big thing is he's heard so much about interceptions I think he just didn't want to throw an interception. He didn't want to make a play. They'll take, you know, they'll turn him loose. But if I was Andy Reid, what would concern me, and only seeing two series with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, they better protect better.
Yeah.
He
was in trouble all night.
He hardly had time to set and throw, and they basically had. That was their starting offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, did Dr. Tuane play?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
See, I don't remember him playing.
I didn't see MD on his jersey, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, Lawrence, I can't.
Duvernay-Tardif.
Yeah, Tardif. I don't know if he played or not, but I felt like Patrick Mahomes was under siege.
Well, the first pass he threw, he got blindsided from behind and still completed it to Kelsey.
Yeah, and of course, you know, they've got, Houston's got a good defense, but boy, you've got to protect better. And I was surprised they threw so much. They didn't even really try to run the ball with that first team offense. Kareem Hunt, let's see, we got the stats here. Did he even have
One
carry for 1 yard. Spencer Ware didn't play. Sharkhandrick West didn't play. So basically the starting running backs did not play. It was the Williams triumvirate, Damian Kerwin and Daryl Williams, all getting a look. Now, I like Damian Williams. He's out of LSU. I thought he ran the ball real hard. But all in all, it was, if you were eating ice cream, it was vanilla. This was vanilla as it could get. They did try one little end around in the final series of the game to try and catch him off guard. But it was vanilla. And one thing, the Chiefs passed even. When Brandon Whedon can go 9-for-11 for 2 touchdowns.
And pretty easily, too.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. David Amerson came over from the Raiders, kind of a big offseason pickup. He got 2 pass interference penalties. I thought one of them was really ticky-tack. The other one was legit. But, of course, Eric Berry didn't. A lot of guys didn't play, so you can't really – The only game I'm really going to be concerned about in the exhibition is game 3.
Yeah.
Where they play about
and
a half.
And even then, we're still not that worried.
Yeah. You just play a half. I mean, how many years has there been a team go 0-4 in the preseason, win their division, and go deep into the playoffs?
I think the Browns went 4-0 in the preseason last year.
And I think they won last night.
They did.
I was watching.
Baker Mayfield looked good.
Yeah, but he looked like a midget to me out there. I thought
he's not a tall man, Steve.
Yeah, I thought he
coming
looks,
from one short man
yeah,
to another.
Yeah, well, I thought he looked short. He threw a real nice short pass. It ended up being a touchdown. Then he threw one into a crowd that is tied in. Actually made a great play on for another touchdown. But the Browns are going to be better. They're definitely going to be better.
You want to know one of the other things I was thinking about last night as I was watching the defense, missed some tackles, and the guy that I'm thinking of didn't necessarily make a ton of tackles, but he was a real steady force that will not be there this year, Marcus Peters. I think that defense looks a whole lot different without him out there.
Well,
I think his presence defensively in that secondary is going to make a really big difference this year. And I know that they wanted to get something out of Marcus Peters because they were not expecting him to re-sign with the Chiefs at the end of this year. But they got a 4th-round pick who is Armani Watts from Texas A&M, who might end up being an okay guy in the secondary. And they get a 2nd-round pick next year, which we'll see what comes out of it. I think with this year's team, I'd rather see Marcus Peters out there than Armani Watts.
I think they are really going to be struggling against the pass. And, you know, the things I've been reading, some of the various, you know, stories after the game, and a lot of them focused on their lack of intensity. It just seemed like they were flat.
And it's the preseason. It is hard to get up for some of those games.
But you're
spilling water over
there. But you're at home, first game, get a chance to light somebody else up, and you whiff on a lot of tackles.
They were whiffing on a lot of tackles.
Tackling was just atrocious last night. So Houston on the night, 157 yards passing, rushing 115, but over 4.5 a carry. That's not good. You can't allow 4.5 yards a carry, but again, you only had the first team defense out there for maybe a quarter. So, you know, we'll see the next game. The next game, you probably won't even see Mahomes, is my guess. You're going to see McGloin. You're going to see Chase Litton, who came in, and they had a 23 play drive when he came into the game, and he showed a strong arm. He's going to be battling.
I thought Chad Henne looked really good
and
that's, really confident.
And that was very encouraging because if Mahomes does end up getting stage fright and, you know, collapses, he has a mental collapse, Chad Henne's a pretty good backup. I like him more than
I compare him a lot to Chase Daniel.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's that type of steady.
And the thing is, though, Henne's had more starts than Chase Daniel.
Right.
I mean, Chad Henne.
Chase Daniel, I think, has two starts.
Chad Henne was a starting quarterback for 4 years, so it's not like he's, you know, he's any, you know, newbie.
I think he'll be a really good fit as the backup in that system. So, Chiefs got their first preseason game out of the way. They don't play again until next Friday when they will take on the Falcons down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I'll be interested to keep our eye on that one, too. The third game of the preseason, that's the one that everybody will be concerned about and will be following at the Bears. And we don't really know anything yet until they strap the pads on week one and take on the Los Angeles Chargers.
Right.
Pretty good at not calling them the San Diego Chargers anymore.
Yeah.
All right, before we move on to talk about the PGA, Bill Moses Snyder, with the big announcement yesterday that he has signed an extension of his contract. He's 77 at the moment, will be 78 by the end of October, that he's getting 5 more years. Everybody chants 4 more years. Coach Snyder's got 5 more years. Now, do you think he will get to the end of this 5-year contract?
If his health permits, I think he will. And I might, you know, he still likes to coach. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he still loves the X's and O's part. But I talked about this on my spot today. I think this is more personal. I think this is to set up his son to be the next K-State coach. I really think that Sean Snyder, who's never been a coordinator, he's like what?
Well, like special teams coordinator.
Well, but I'm talking offensive, defensive.
You got to coordinate that gunner going down the side.
Offensive and defensive coordinator. He's never been that. There's a lot of detractors. There's a lot of K-Staters that they really don't think that Sean Snyder should be the next coach. I think Bill Snyder is going to give him more and more responsibility the next couple years. I think you're going to see him set Sean up so the transition's seamless. Sean will have about, 10 or 12 years on staff by then, by the end of the deal. But Bill Snyder, to me, how many ever years he wants to stay, I think it's his decision.
Yeah.
I mean, not K-State.
But isn't it crazy that 8 months ago, whenever they were playing that bowl game, and everybody's going, oh, is this the end? Is he going to step down? And I think you and I were on the page that we did not think that was going to be the end.
No, I didn't think so.
Well, we didn't think so, but I thought at the end of this year it might
and
be.
And I think he's really driven this year because they were picked 6th, I believe
it
was.
I think 6th.
And I'm telling you right now, I'll go on record, they will be in the top 3 this year. That offense.
Your guy Alex Barnes, if they just give him the ball.
Yeah, give Alex Barnes the ball a little more. But they are so loaded. They have the best offensive line in the Big 12. Everybody's back. They have 2 really nice quarterbacks that are proving themselves, couple good receivers, and they have a stable of running backs. They have 4 running backs. I guarantee you, there's a lot of teams in the country that would like to have their 4 running backs. I think there's, besides Alex Barnes, they got Sillman's back.
Dalvin Warmack, who's the one from Blue Springs.
And then Mike McCoy from Topeka, who they said was a weight room terror. He's like 240 pounds now. He's like a fullback type. I guess he's kind of like, who was the fullback they just had? The Demmel. He's like Winston Demmel. Big, strong, runs over people. You know, in the Big 12, it's all about scoring. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. If you outscore the other guy.
Just hold them to 38.
Yeah, hold them to 38, you're going to win because you're going to score 40. So, you see, in the Big 12, you see a lot of 45-41 type games. You know, Texas Tech, they don't.
They lose a lot of 66-72 games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, defense is just an afterthought out there. Baylor's the same way now since Art Briles left. So, I think K-State, in a year where I think the conference is down, K-State's up, and I think they'll be in the top 3.
Oh, college football's so close.
Oh, I know.
I'm so excited for
college
football.
I can't wait for that KU-Nickel State game.
Get your popcorn ready. What's
the over-under on the crowd? Do you think they'll have 10,000?
Well, to be fair, that's the game where they can go to and think, hey, I think we're going to win.
Pittsburgh State will draw more than KU probably this year.
That's a bold take. But, yeah, it'll be a rough go for the Jayhawks. Somebody the other day was...
Well, they got to win the first one or they're over. They don't win the first one, it's over. I mean, they're looking at 1-11. David Beatty, the question is, which game will he get fired after? And I keep saying, it's the game right before the bye week. They'll play that game, and then you'll see Clint Bowen, interim head coach again, while their national search starts. And I'm sure Jeff Long, the new AD, is got David Booth on speed dial. Say, Dave, you're worth about $20 billion. I need about $8 million for a year for a big-time coach to come here and pull a Bill Snyder and turn this thing around.
Whenever that happens, we can create the rumor, Coach Pav to the Jayhawks.
Well, I just want to live long enough to see him in a bowl game again. Because that could take a long...
How many years do you think you got left?
I don't know, but that could take a long time. Though Iowa State, Matt Campbell, took him 2 years, you know.
He's a pretty good coach, though.
They were 14th in the country last year, and that was just his second year.
They were the only team besides Georgia in the Final Four to beat OU.
I know.
And they did it in Norman.
I know it.
Big fan of the show, Eli Egger, my buddy who's the Iowa State fan.
Yeah.
He was at that game.
I don't say anything bad about Iowa State.
No, not anymore.
No. Don't want to make Eli mad.
He saw a picture of you at Whistling Straits, and he said, Steve's not a big picture guy.
Well, somebody, Clint took a picture of me hitting a ball. It should have been the cutter off of Lake Michigan, because if you look at my stance, I'm wide open for a big cut. And, of course, I hit the big draw, sweeping draw. That hole, by the way, I ripped one about 275 right down the pipe.
Oh, yeah. All right, Steve, let's take our final break. When we come back, PGA Championship update, we'll see who is going to look the smartest when we're back here on Monday, whether it's you, me, or Treg. At one point yesterday...
You were looking good.
It was like 4:30 or so. That was before Gary Woodland made his run. It was Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day. The top three on the leaderboard, and those are the three guys we took.
Treg took DJ? Is that who Treg
took? He took DJ.
He took and I took Jason Day. So, yeah, we were looking pretty smart.
We'll get you an update right after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up this week of According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. If you missed any of these shows, you miss any of our great interviews from earlier this week.
And how many have we had?
SoundCloud.com/KBBE Sports. I think 203 today. 202.
We didn't do a 200 celebration.
Well, you weren't here.
Oh, did you do one?
Yeah, it was me and Mark Heidebrecht holding down the ship.
Was that number 200?
Holding down the fort.
Did anyone bring us cake?
No.
They did on 100.
And they did on 150.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll get to 250, then we'll have a big blowout.
Then we'll really be ready. Steve, we've been keeping our eye on the PGA Championship that's been going on the last 2 days in St. Louis, Belle Reve, and they are lighting up the course.
Oh, it's, yeah.
All right, so here's how things stand as the top four are all done. Gary Woodland was 4-under today, so he got himself to 10.
130 for
He's the
days.
Leader.
Wow, that's a number.
Kevin Kisner... He was 6-under today, so he finished at 9. Brooks Koepka was on a tear, finished 7-under today. He's at 8. Dustin Johnson, Charles Schwartzel, Brandon Stone are tied for 4th at 7-under. So those four are done. Now this other group, they're not quite done, or they haven't even like teed off yet.
Yeah, the second
Ricky
wave.
Ricky Fowlers, and it'll be interesting to see now that these guys get to go out there later in the day. Ricky tees off in like 10 minutes. He was the leader when he went to the clubhouse yesterday, and I think he was probably feeling pretty good at 5-under. And now, my guy's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, he does. And the thing is, those morning guys that play, the wind's down a little bit in the morning, and the greens are smooth. I mean, they are really
that
smooth.
St. Louis wind.
They get kind of beat up after that morning wave goes through. So there's a few putts that, you know, might hit a little spike mark here and there and keep it out.
Jason Day tees off at 126.
But yesterday, the better scores were in the afternoon.
Yeah. All right, Steve. MHS, fall practices begin Monday.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
The Toyota Tour. I always call it the Toyota Tour.
We got to go check out volleyball.
My Toyota and I drive around to the various practices, you know. So it's the Toyota. Remember the Skyriders Tour?
Yeah.
The big eight Skyriders Tour. I used to always call it my Toyota Tour because I've always had a Toyota car. So
All right, Steve, it's going to be a fun weekend. You're not playing in the member guest tournament, are you?
No, I'm not playing. I haven't picked up a club since I got back. So, actually, I'm going to do a little work this weekend. Got
wow.
that magazine.
Look at you.
Got that magazine to get done. So, had a lot of people. When's that magazine coming out? Gotta get my copy of that magazine. Well, we're going to have it out for the first home football game. Well, the first football game, period. 31st, that's the goal. We'll have them at the first high school football game.
I'm excited this weekend. Get to play a little golf today. Big fan of the show, Bill Brown. The legend Bill Brown, you know, March Madness basement Bill Brown. You know him, Steve.
Okay.
He's coming in to play a little golf at Turkey Creek.
Okay.
I'm going to see if he can handle the creek. I think they're driving in right now, so they might be listening.
Okay.
You got a word of advice for him?
They're going to get off before the horse race. The horse race, I think, starts like at 4 or 4:30.
Yeah, we're going to try to get off at about 3.
Well, but they'll have 10 guys on one hole, and it'll take them 45 minutes to play number one.
Well, yeah.
So that horse race will be interesting because that first hole, you got guys, they're playing the blue tees. There could be about 6 guys out of bounds on that first shot.
Well, we're excited about it. Get a little golf in. His first trip to McPherson since I've been here. I think he's been here before.
Okay.
Might even have to show him the roundhouse.
Okay.
You think he would enjoy that?
Oh,
the big basketball fan.
I was
that
in
he
the
is.
Roundhouse yesterday, and it looked.
Ooh, it looked good.
It was sparkly.
Got the AC going.
Dave's got that floor just
tiny.
Oh yeah, Dave Larson, he is the number one, you know, keeper of the basketball court. There's no doubt about that.
All right, Steve. We'll wrap up today's According to Jim. I'm really pulling for Ricky Fowler. Give me that money, baby.
Jason Day.
Give me that money.
All day, Jason Day.
All right, wrapping up the show for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you on Monday.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.